Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I'm going to talk about the future of Galaxy's Edge. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching for Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there'll be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our TeePublic store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Okay, everyone, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, and I am excited to continue talking a little bit more about Galaxy's Edge. Yes, we have just gone through three parts, or a little bit of a series, if you will, on Galaxy's Edge at, of course, Disneyland and Disney World at the moment, covering the rides of the park, the experiences of the park, and, of course, food and beverage. So where does that leave us? And I thought that I might be done with this series after three, but I think I still have some more thoughts about where it goes in the future. And that's going to be the subject of today's episode on the podcast. Plus, we also have a Patreon question that will be answered and read live on the show today. So stay tuned for that at the end of all things. And of course, I'll share more details about Patreon itself and how you can get involved if you want to support the show in that format. But let's get to the Galaxy's Edge of it all here. And we've talked about all that stuff that goes into the park to begin with at this point, so I'm not going to rehash all that. But right now, as it currently sits, especially in Walt Disney World, they really have clung to the concept of it being this place that takes, in the Star Wars canon, it takes place in between episodes 8 and 9. And at the time, 2019, when the park opens up, right? Episode 9 is just around the corner, episode 8 had come out. It makes sense that they would want to establish a park that is in canon, that you can have your own experiences with and have your own stories and be a part of the larger galaxy far, far away, that they would do it as like a marketing thing in betwixt something that they've got coming out versus also something that had just come out so that they can also sell things, right? I think, you know, we want to have our experiences of people, you know, probably people would side for the original trilogy and wanting to have those experiences in with those planets and places and have those experiences with those characters. But you got to think, this also is, you know, the Walt Disney Company, it's not a not-for-profit organization, right? This is a for-profit company that is trying to make money at the end of the day, and they're also trying to brand across across platforms and all these different places coming together. They're trying to create this cohesive experience that you can go to the cinema, that you can come to the parks and just have this fluid, natural experience. So I'm all for it taking place at one point in time canonically message. Maybe that'll change over time. And that's the question that I would actually pose to all of you at this point is, are you fans of it being at a single place in time? I've seen drawings recently of like, I think some fans putting together what they call like Lucas World or something like that, where they're like, all right, this is Mustafar section. This is Yavin 4 section. This is Coruscant. And you get to experience things within those. It doesn't really take place within any one time or place. You just kind of see familiar things within those planets. And I think that is also okay. But I don't think that's really practical given the sense of the parent company putting this together at the end of the day. They're going to make money. They're going to want synergy and branding across the board. I think that's, it may be a tough pill to swallow for some of us, But I think naturally it's just where they're going to lean their head towards if they want to continue, at least just for now, they want to keep it within the branding of the things that they've produced and put out recently, particularly those big tentpole films. Now, especially at Disneyland, they've toyed with the idea of experiences for characters and meet and greets that aren't necessarily tied into the that in between episode 8 and 9 time frame. So you will see characters like Din Djarin from The Mandalorian and Grogu, Boba Fett, Fennec Shand, recently Ahsoka Tano, and Harrison Dula, right? Because that ties into things that they've got coming out. They may tell a story explaining why they're there on that planet and why you can see them there. And, you know, also they won't interact with, say, like a Rey or a Chewie, or perhaps maybe a Chewie, but a different Chewie from a different time. Right, because they want to keep that synergy alive. And I think that they've brought Din Djarin and Grogu to World, Walt Disney World at this point. I'm not sure about the Boba Fett of it all. Definitely not Ahsoka and Harrison Dula at this point. But is that the wave of the future? I know the reason at World was because that they didn't want... They really stuck at World to the concept of the in between 8 and 9. And they hung on to that for a while. They were basically trying to really support the concept of the Galactic Star Cruiser, which definitively takes place between episodes 8 and 9, if you were able to go on that. And as participants came over to the park from that, because it's part of your excursion, so you come over from the hotel immersive experience as part of your landing stop, your destination on Batuu. You have your experiences, and then you go back on the onto the ship, right? You go back to the hotel, your excursion's done. They wanted to keep that synergy across the board, that this is a time and place between that, just so you're not taking out of the experience. So they didn't want those folks to see a Boba Fett, a Din Djarin, right? That was the real impetus for that. So it gave the folks at Disneyland a lot more leeway to have these more immersive experiences of characters that maybe are a part of something that is currently being released or fan favorite, all that kind of stuff. Now that the Galactic Star Cruiser is closing at the end of September, which, you know, it's that's its own sad and tragic story, perhaps they will also start implementing more of that at Walt Disney World. Now, I also think that there are some practical limitations as well, with it being the hot Florida sun, the humidity of it all, perhaps the larger crowds. Maybe these meet and greet walkabout experiences just aren't the same. It's be tough, in my opinion, I think, for a person to be in full makeup of this, either an Ahsoka or a Hera, to be in such a humid space if for a long period of time. I'm sure there's probably a way that they could work around it naturally. So it may be possible. But in my opinion, I think that's where they go in the future here. I think as new stories come out, as new characters are developed, that Galaxy's Edge will also evolve with the storytelling of the time. Batuu is not going away, but maybe the time frame at which we interpret Batuu shifts as we move forward. Maybe Rise of the Resistance and Smuggler's Run change over time. Maybe those get, you know, maybe we're at a place where all the stories being told are of the Old Republic. I think Batuu could go through a whole renovation at that point. Maybe that's 20, 30 years down the line. And at that point, maybe the park is due for some necessary upgrades and renovations to keep it fresh and interesting. I don't think it's ever just going to be time and place. All right, here's episode 4. This is when the park is. I think they're going to always keep it current to whatever the modern storytelling is. And that's the beauty of Batuu, is it's not just Tatooine. It's not Hoth. It's not Yavin 4. It's not Endor. If you want all those experiences, go ride Star Tours. We'll talk about that in an upcoming episode. But Batu is a planet, and it's allowed to have a trillion years of stories taking place on this planet and on Black Spire Outpost. And it would make sense as a place that's on the galaxy's edge that they've got all these different run-ins and characters and experiences and stories for it to have a plethora of fresh canvas storytelling for the Imagineers and people at work behind the scenes putting these structures together. And I think that's so cool. And as a fan of all this, it makes me excited to see where it can go in the future. But for now, of course, I'm obviously going to still enjoy the great stuff that we have available to us. I mean, Rise of Resistance is probably the best ride on property right now. Smuggler's Run is also a fantastic experience that allows us to live out our childhood dreams and stories. Food and Drink, also fantastic, but that's also able to be upgraded and changed on a moment's notice because if the chefs get inspired by something, they're allowed to do that. And again, I think the experiences of it all can also shift and change. You'll see in, I believe, in the Lightsaber Sabi's Lightsaber Workshop, you can build a High Republic-inspired lightsaber. You can buy at Doc Ondar's lightsabers and merchandise of various eras of the universe and the galaxy. So those are already being updated based off of the current storytelling. And I just want to prepare you all that this is something that could potentially happen in the future as we look towards whatever Galaxy's Edge is 30 years from now. It's not going away anytime soon. I wouldn't be concerned about that at all. It's too much of an investment and a branding for them that they want to keep it, of course, top of mind and the top tier echelon of experience and storytelling for those coming to the park. But just get ready, because there might be some interesting changes down the line, especially if something is able to fail like the Galactic Star Cruiser. I mean, who knows what they've got potentially planned 5 to 10 years right now at this point. And I hope that space gets utilized in a different way, too. And again, I think we'll probably cover that episode in a little bit more detail later on once it's shut down and we're able to process that loss directly. So that's where we're at now with Galaxy's Edge. I think the future is definitely in more character experiences and meet and greets and just adding an influx of different people into Galaxy's Edge right now. That's an easy and quick fix. Food and beverage also, you can have tons of different edits and changes and manipulations to it over time. But these characters are definitely something that I think is the most realistic way for them to update the park, for it to be still remain fresh and current and feel like it's modern with what the current storytelling is, no matter what your take on the sequel trilogy is. I mean, that we're not going to get into that. I love it. I hope you do too. That's it. So that's where I think the future is going. And of course, you're seeing these already, these characters. It's almost similar to kin to what they do at Avengers Campus, right? As something comes out or new stories are being pushed to the forefront, they have these meet and greet experiences with characters where they're able to, you know, something comes out next week, they're at Avengers Campus. I think we're almost at that point now with Galaxy's Edge. So wherever the future is going, just be prepared to potentially see more characters with those experiences in that park. Would it be cool to see Luke and Vader there? Absolutely. But if it doesn't match what the current storytelling is, then I wouldn't expect it. So that's where I'm currently at with Galaxy's Edge. I like that it takes place within a certain time frame, but I also like that they're also open to interpretations of it being just Batuu, or Black Spire Outpost, a place that exists within time and also without time. It was a town that existed 10,000 years ago. It's a town that's going to exist 10,000 years in the future. And there are fun avenues of storytelling that I think we shall allow the Imagineers to share and to have ready for us as fans to just let them tell great stories, because that's what they're paid to do, and to just be wowed by the experience at the end of all the things. Galaxy's Edge is a wonderful, immersive, almost life-changing experience for anybody that gets to go to it. And I implore everybody to, at least when they're able to, and financially able to, of course, go to the park, experience it for themselves, and to have these great, wonderful experiences that will create memories, and fulfill lifetime goals and aspirations that only can come through these interactive, immersive, totally one-of-a-kind experiences overall. So that's really where I wanted to end with my big Galaxy's Edge talk. This is kind of an epilogue for the future and just kind of where I'm at when I'm thinking about Galaxy's Edge and the promise of what it could lead to tomorrow. I think this is just a really fun avenue and place for great storytelling, great immersion. And of course, that just in lines with what George Lucas envisioned for this galaxy far, far away, as it being this place where we can tell great stories, that coming of age, tip of the iceberg storytelling, where every turn you do is another thing over here, another thing over here. Perhaps there's more magic band experiences, right? The thing that you wear on your wrist to help you get into the parks and to help pay for things, etc. I know they're doing like the Bounty Hunters experience. Perhaps there's another like treasure map experience or something to that degree there that these Imagineers can probably quickly put together based off of what they need to do. All that great stuff is fun. I'm excited for it. I hope that you're all too. And I want to continue this conversation further because clearly things are able to fail and they learn from those experiences, but what can we take from those experiences to move forward, a la a Galactic Star Cruiser, and perhaps maybe the successes of seeing Din Djarin at Disneyland and then these other character meet and greet experiences that they're able to have to update the park, to keep it fresh, to move it forward into current storytelling. I think that's very promising, and I think that you all should be excited for that as well, because I certainly am. As I noted, let's talk about the question that we received from our wonderful patron, Rural Farm Boy RFB. So, of course, at the various levels of our Patreon, you can, of course, submit questions to be read and answered live on the podcast. And we do this on a monthly basis on our Patreon site. So, of course, you can go to patreon.com/forestghostconversations. There's a link in the episode description as well for you to check out the various tiers offered. And for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a ton of Force Ghost Conversations goodies, such as getting your name read on the show, getting to submit questions to be read aloud on the podcast. You can also get access to extra episodes of Force Ghost Conversations at a certain tier, and you can also share your own Star Wars experiences on the podcast as well at a certain level. So be sure to check out that link and to see whatever tier works best for you. And of course, thank you again for your support. And to thank you, RFB, for being a very loyal patron and for submitting this question here. So your question is, you just got conscripted by the Galactic Empire. So the question is, which branch of the Empire are you given service to? As a stormtrooper, scout, coastal defense, shore trooper, range trooper, imperial pilot, TIE, shuttle, AT-AT, tank trooper, Imperial Communications, Shipboard, Planet-Based, ISB, etc. So this is a great question, RFB, and I think there are two ways to answer this here. So of course, the first would be, what do I think is the coolest one that I would want to be entered into or conscripted into at this point? So like, would I like the uniforms? Would I like probably the adventures that they're on, etc., that type of stuff? But then the other one is the practical side of things, which is a lot of these troopers are put into dangerous places or very hot and extreme environments, or they're just always put into places of peril and harm. So as a survivalist, which I mostly would define myself as, I definitely would probably shy away from most of the stormtroopers, the scout troopers, shore troopers, any type of really trooper and pilot, of course. I think, if anything, I'm going to choose Imperial Communications on that sense, because unless they're on some major Star Destroyer, which again probably is the safest place to be at, in terms of like the level of risk that you have of the ship being shot down or something like that, or the chances that I could escape if something were to go massively wrong, I think Imperial Communications aboard a massive Star Destroyer is probably the best bet. You're probably sleeping in a nice bed every night. You probably get good meals, right? Good rations. Those ships are basically living cities. I know they're inspired a lot by like aircraft carriers in our real world, which are, again, living, movable cities. So I think that's where practically I would align on that answer, is definitely with Imperial Communications. Now, on the other side of that, the cool, what would I want to be? I think maybe a Death Trooper. just because they have the coolest looking uniform. I think they have, if I'm to believe Battlefront as being a source of canon a little bit here, they're more of an elite echelon troop. Of course, that's naturally with canon, but it looks like their armor is probably a bit more better suited and equipped for harsh environments. Probably more blaster protective, if you will, rather than the standard Imperial armor that they're giving out. They also get better like weapons and equipment for just protection in order to get the job done. I think that would be my answer on that front. So a little bit more of a practical sense on both fronts, but definitely for the cool one, I would side with being a Death Trooper. Yeah, I think that's where I land on both of those. So thank you for submitting this question here, RFB. And to all of you at home, thank you for listening to the series on Galaxy's Edge. I've had a lot of fun talking about the park, talking about these great experiences I've had, and looking towards the future about where this thing is going to go in the coming months, years, weeks, all that fun stuff. And I think next week we're going to do a little bit of a discussion on Star Tours and my own experiences with that. And I think maybe we'll watch the original video of what the Star Tours experience is. So just be on the lookout for all of that in your podcast feeds next week, which of course will be back next Sunday with a brand new episode. Again, we are available on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Hive, and TikTok for all of the ways to communicate with us, to share us about your Galaxy's Edge experiences, to talk about where you think the park is going in the future. Let's have these great discussions online. Of course, I invite you all to share your comments and ideas as well. You can also, if you would like, support the show again via our Patreon, but you can also check out our TeePublic site, which we have links all over the place, both in the episode descriptions and on all of our social media sites, where you can get Force Ghost Conversations merchandise, such as t-shirts, hoodies. I think they've got like iPhone cases and pillows. Great stuff that you can really showcase your love and support of Force Ghost Conversations in a different way. But of course, if you don't want to support via those monetary ways, a simple rating on Apple Podcasts goes a long way. A rating on Spotify also helps. Telling your friends about us, sharing the show on your social media sites is a great help. And of course, just naturally, subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Of course, we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, basically any place that you can find a podcast these days, we're available in some way, shape, or form. So that is all that I had for this week's folks. May the Force be with you, and take care.